I'm thankful for this opportunity to be able to speak to you this morning. A couple of months ago, Pastor Jeff asked me if I would cover for him for a couple of weeks when his father passed away, because his dad was not doing well physically. And as you know, he passed away a week ago, and the funeral was this past week. So last week I preached in Bob Cajun to fill in for Jeff there, and was ready to do so again today. But then Pastor Jeff and Pastor Matt came up with this plan that why not send Matt over to Bob Cajun? That way, in the series on Mark, each site can be at the same stage. So good plan. That put me here in Finland, whether you like it or not. So that's the way it turned out, and it works well logistically. So it's my privilege to be here and to speak to you today. And I'm going to do a different sermon than I used last week, partly because it's family weekend. I thought I'd do something more with a story in it than the topic I used last week from Psalm 62. So got a few stories in here for you on that. Anyway, one of them is you're quite familiar with. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. Do you remember that story? Yeah, you know how that goes, eh? The first little pig built a house of straw, and along came the wolf, and he huffed and he puffed and he blew the straw house down and ate up the little pig. At least that's the version I grew up with. Maybe you grew up with one, the little pig ran to the second little pig's house and was safe. Do you want to go with that one? A little less, whatever. You like the first one better? Yeah, at least the wolf gets something to eat out of it anyway. Second little pig thought he would build a stronger house, so he built his house out of sticks. And along came the wolf, and he huffed and puffed and blew in the little house and ate up the second little pig. Then the third little pig was a smart little pig, and he decided he was going to build a very sturdy house, so he built his house out of bricks. And the wolf came along and huffed and puffed, and he huffed and he puffed, but he could not blow the brick house down. It stood strong, and the little pig was safe. Now you're wondering, why am I starting with that story today? Well, it's because there's a passage in Matthew 7 where Jesus tells a story like that, not about pigs building houses, but about two men who built two different houses. One built, Jesus says, on a strong foundation, and the other built on a weak foundation. The problem the three pigs faced was the wolf. The problem these two men faced was storms. Let me read the passage to you. It's Matthew chapter 7, just at the very end of the Sermon on the Mount, verse 24. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. And then, this is not part of the story, but I always like to add these last two verses, because this wraps up the Sermon on the Mount. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Jesus describes these two men as one being wise and the other being foolish. And the foolish man built his house on the sand. The wise man built his house on the rock. And both houses look great. You'd be happy to live in either one of them. They were done just right until the wind started to blow. And it started to rain, and the river overflowed its banks. And that was not a problem for the wise man who built his house on the rock, but for the foolish man who built his house on the sand. You remember the old chorus? The house on the sand fell flat. Can you sing that chorus? Do you remember it well enough to sing it? Sing it with me. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. But the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up. The rains came down as the floods came up, and the house on the sand fell flat. So, build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. The blessings will come down as the prayers go up. So build your life on the Lord. Good job. Those of you who remember did well. Those of you who've never heard it before, you've learned a new song today. Now, remember, before Jesus began his ministry, he was a carpenter or a stonemason or a craftsman. He knew the importance of constructing a strong house. And when he told this story, the reason he told is because he wants to liken us building our lives as that of building a house. And every day we build a little bit more into our house, a little bit more into our lives. The things we learn, the kinds of friends we choose, the things we allow ourselves to see and to hear, the language we use, the places we go, all these things contribute to the building of our life. But the most important thing is the foundation. Our life must be built on a strong foundation. A foundation that is so strong that the storms of life will not destroy our house. And it's the foundation that determines whether it will stand or not. Whenever we see a picture of the skyline of Toronto, we see the CN Tower rising high above everything else around it. It used to be one of the tallest freestanding structures in the world. I think it's down the list a little bit now with some others being built. But that tower hasn't always been there. In fact, I was in Bible college in downtown Toronto at the time it was built in the early 70s. And every afternoon in one semester, I had a class on the fifth floor of a building just a little bit north of our campus, and we could see the tower grow. And I mean grow because it is a continuous pour from the base to the top. They just continually poured the concrete 24/7 until that whole thing was built. Charlotte was telling me after the first service that you wouldn't see it nowadays. There are so many high-rises there that the viewpoint I had then you wouldn't have today. But that's 50 years ago, so it's quite a bit different. But before we saw that, before anything was evident or visible, the massive excavations had to be accomplished to prepare the base for the foundation. And by the time the foundation was complete, 56,000 tons of earth and shale had been removed from the site, and then to a depth of nearly 50 feet, and then a base incorporating over 9,000 cubic yards of concrete, as well as 450 tons of rebar and 36 tons of steel cable, had been built to a thickness of 22 feet. It took months to complete that phase of the project, but only then was the foundation ready for construction. A good foundation is extremely important because it determines whether a building will stand or fall. And as you can tell, they did the CN Tower right. It's still standing It's endured 50 years anyway. If you go down Louisa Street, you see the new condo building, the Moorings. And as I watched them build that, the incredible amount of concrete and rebar that they put into that building, it's going to take a pretty powerful tornado or hurricane or earthquake to hurt that building. Might break a few windows, but I think the rest of it's going to stand through everything. It's well built. Jesus spoke about two foundations that we can build our life on, a strong foundation or a weak foundation. So this morning, let's think about some weak foundations that people can build their lives on. First of all, a weak foundation might be building our lives on stuff, like fashionable clothes, or the nicest of homes, the best of foods, a beautiful vehicle, owning lots of property. Now, there's nothing wrong with any of those things. But if that's all we have for the foundation of our life, they will never satisfy. They will all prove disappointing. You've probably had this very same experience I've had. There's something I wanted to buy. And I thought about it, and I thought, I can use it for this, and I can use it for that, and it will make my life so much easier. It'll be so much better to accomplish those jobs when I get that. And so I dream about it for a while, and then I actually go and get it. And after I've had it for a while, I begin to think, what's the big deal? You know, this, now I've got to look after the thing. Now, money does have many good uses. Money can make life a lot easier. It can save us a lot of time. It can save us a lot of frustration. But money alone cannot give our life meaning. In contrast, Jesus says, seek the Father first. Invest our greatest energy and passion into seeking Him and His will, and then we will have a solid foundation for our lives. Another weak foundation might be building our lives around good times. How many people do you know that live for the weekend? You know, just Monday to Friday, just get through it, get through school, get through the work, just can't wait to get to the weekend. And it's not because they want to go to church on Sunday morning. It's because they want to go to the cottage or they want to get the sleds out and go ice fishing or maybe go skiing. Or if it's summertime, let's get the boat out and let's go tubing. Or there's a new theater production we want to see or want to attend this concert that's in town. Or let's go see the latest movie. Or traveling, just going places on vacation. There are new cruises and tours. And for sure, nobody wants to live a dull, boring life, just sitting at home all the time and going nowhere. But realize that if that's what we're living for, and that's what we're putting all our time and our energy into, be careful. We're building on a weak foundation. A weak foundation might be building our lives on popularity, you know, pleasing others, wanting to be accepted by other people, getting their attention, doing what everybody else is doing. The only problem with this one, however, is whatever is popular today is going to be unpopular and uncool tomorrow. That kind of foundation is always shifting. Another weak foundation might be building our lives on success, you know, setting our goals and then reaching our goals, and getting promoted, making sure our career plans are on track and we get to where we wanted to be all along, and thinking, you know, I'm the one I trust in. I'll see that this gets done. I'm the one who's going to handle this. Leave it to me. And there is a good thing about that kind of ambition, but it can also become just very self-centered, living for self. It can become almost like idolatry, so that it ends up, we become a workaholic. It drives us just to keep constantly trying to achieve and to gain more, and as if we have to prove that we're worthwhile. Or we could set our goal as building our lives on retirement. You know, I'm tired of working. I've been working for other people all my life, and I've done this for so many years. I just can't wait till I retire. I can be my own boss. I can get up when I want. I can do what I want. I can go where I want. I don't have to listen to anybody else. I just want to be my own boss. Jesus says we can build our lives on those kinds of things, but they are a weak foundation. They are like sand. Or he says we can build our life on the rock. And what's the reason for why we need a solid foundation for our life? It's because the storms of life are certain to come. A few years ago, when we lived next door, I set up a rain barrel in the backyard, and I just got it cut off the downspout of the eave trough of the house and hooked it all up and had it at just leveled perfectly, and it was at the right height. I'd get my watering can under it. I could use rainwater to water the flowers rather than chlorine water, which I assumed was not good for them. And everything looked really good. However, I mistakenly used sand to level the blocks. And wouldn't you know it, it was within a week, I think it was 5 days, we had the most torrential downpour we'd had in years. There was even hail in it. And I looked out the window, and there was my rain barrel rolling across the backyard. Without a sure foundation, we experience a cave-in when the storms come, much like the one Jesus tells about at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The rains and the floods and the winds are going to come. They are going to come. They come in different ways and in different stages and different times, but we can't escape them. They are a reality of life. You're either in a storm, just came out of a storm, or are about to go into a storm. That's life. Some examples of storms. One is sickness. We can face storms of sickness at various times of our life, and all kinds of things in that realm. A number of years ago, we traveled to Wawa, north of Sault Ste. Marie, up in northern Ontario, to go to my sister and her husband's 50th wedding anniversary. And that was on a Saturday afternoon, so we were there for the whole weekend. On the Sunday, we were there for his retirement party after church. He had just retired as the pastor of Wawa Baptist Church, and he had been a bivocational pastor for 35 years. From Monday to Friday, he lived in the bush, worked as a logger, and on the weekend, he was the pastor of the church. So we celebrated all that on the weekend. On Monday morning, same weekend, we're all heading home. He had an appointment in Sault Ste. Marie with the doctor for an angiogram. The doctor found a 99% blockage in an artery in his heart, immediately put him on an air ambulance, sent him to St. Michael's Hospital in Toronto, where that day he had an angioplasty and they put some stents in to open up the veins. And he was released the next day on Tuesday and went home. And I found out all this stuff later. We didn't know any of it was happening. Found out later that on Thursday, he was swimming in Lake Superior, and on Friday played 18 holes of golf. But I got to thinking, the guy was a walking time bomb all weekend. You know, at his anniversary party, at his retirement party, he could have dropped dead right there in the middle of it all with a massive heart attack. You just never know when those kinds of things are coming or when stuff like that is going to hit. Another kind of storm is disappointments. Disappointments are always coming at us. We didn't get the job that we interviewed for. Or we did get it, and it didn't turn out to be what we thought it would be, and we didn't like it now after all. We just broke up with the person, and we thought we could marry that person. Our children or our grandchildren never call. They never come to visit. A neighbor hates us, and we don't know why. Back in COVID, I received this letter from Martin and Tammy Lamb. They work in missions supported by our church with Ethnos, and he wrote about what life had been like for his family during those COVID years. First, he said he suffered a hypertensive reaction to his first vaccine shot, ended up in Emerge. His twin brother developed myocarditis from the shot, And he, as a commercial airline pilot, was grounded from flying. Just before Christmas, both he and his son got sick from the Omicron variant of the virus. And when he wrote the letter, though, he said, thankfully, they'd recovered. His wife's January appointment for knee replacement was canceled. And their pet dog of 11 years died of advanced kidney disease just before Christmas. That's just one letter, one family. But that's how life goes. The storms just keep coming. Then there are storms of temptation. Temptation to be greedy, or to be lazy, or to gossip, or to get angry, to worry, to fear, to get impatient. And there's the constant influence from friends and peers to do what's wrong. Or maybe this storm is more of a financial nature, a financial loss that comes our way. Our investments may take a beating. The sale of our house fell through. Or our paycheck is shrinking. It's not covering the inflation or all the expenses that we have to face. Or maybe we lose our job and now we have no income to pay our bills. We got into debt and we knew we shouldn't have, but now we can't seem to see a way out of it. How can we build a strong foundation to weather these storms that push and pull? So let's think about what is needed to build a strong foundation. When Jesus was asked about the most important of all the commandments, he clearly stated it like this: the most important is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. That's Jesus' summary of the law. That's what God requires of us. Love God. Put him first. Put his will first. Not yours. You're not God. He is. So live for him, not for yourself. And then secondly, he says, love others. And I sometimes think you can say you love God. Nobody will ever know, but they can tell by how you love others. So loving others is like the evidence or the proof of your love for God, because you're doing what God says. And to love others simply means to be selfless, not selfish. Selfishness is at the root of all kinds of problems, destroys every relationship. Wherever you find conflict, wherever you find trouble, you're going to find selfishness. But on the other hand, selflessness is what makes relationships grow, because selflessness means less of me, more of you. It's a biblical principle of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, that you will reap. So when we sow selflessness, we will reap God's blessing. That's the way God has wired this whole universe. The more unselfish we are, the more he blesses us. And he wants us to become like him, and he is unselfish. So while we were here on this earth, we are more fulfilled, most fulfilled, when we live for others and not for ourselves, when we give ourselves away. Earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus summed up the key to successful house building in one small sentence: seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that's really all there is to it. That's the fundamental principle of life on which all others rest: faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to his word. As Jesus says in that parable, one man heard the words of Jesus, put them into practice. The other heard and didn't do them. As Kathy read from James, same concept. Whoever looks in the mirror and does deal with what he sees, that's the one that counts. As followers of Jesus, we also have the power of the Holy Spirit within us to help us stand strong when life challenges us. I like the story in the Old Testament of Daniel. Just a young man, probably a teenager, living in a hostile land, in a culture that was anti-God, without his family, without the support of his parents around. How did he survive? Well, three simple things. He had trusted friends whom he counted on. You can name them, can't you? Say them with me. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had those three friends. You are who your friends are. So choose your friends wisely, because you will become what they are. Secondly, he prayed three times a day. He kept in touch with God. The biblical record is morning, noon, and night. He faithfully walked with God. Ultimately, he got in trouble because of that and was thrown into a lion's den, which was not good. Yet God protected him and strengthened him, and that was good, because God honored his commitment to pray when the persecution was on. And then the third thing, he trusted God. The next morning, after he spent that night in the lion's den, the Bible says that the king gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted out from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Daniel not only survived in that culture, he thrived because he didn't fight his battles alone. And we, too, are not alone. God has given us all we need to protect us in battle. I like Ephesians 6 that talks about the spiritual armor God has provided for us. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, that so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So remember, we have armor to protect us. We have weapons, the word of God and of prayer. Now, when things are going well, it doesn't matter what you build your life on. It doesn't matter if it's sand or rock. But when the storms come, this story Jesus tells has two endings. One house stood strong through the ups and the downs and the storms of life. The house that was built on the solid rock of faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to his word. And many of you have been through storms. And if I gave you the chance, you could tell me those stories of how you trusted in God through those things, and that your faith in God and your trust in him and your obedience was the only thing that helped you get through those storms, helping you more than anything else could have. The second ending, the other house collapsed. A life built on the culture around us collapses and perishes. It won't stand the test of time or eternity. So we all have a choice to make. Will we build on the solid ground of faith in Christ, placing our hope in this one who loves us so much that he willingly gave his life on our behalf so that our sin could be forgiven, so that we could have a purpose for living, so that we could enjoy, look forward to eternity in heaven beyond this life? When we place our faith in him, when we do that, believing the word of God and acting upon it, obeying it and doing it, living it out, then there's no storm, no doubt, no disappointment that can ever stand in way of the plans God has for us. We can live every day with that sense of purpose and meaning and peace because we know that God has everything in control, and we can know that nothing will ever separate us from his love. So that's our choice. Will we build on the rock or on sand? Choose to build your life on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only solid foundation. Let's bow together in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the simple story that Jesus told. So easy for us to understand, because we understand building We understand rocks and we understand sand, and help us simply to make that application to our own lives, and help us to choose wisely because of our faith in Jesus, to be obedient to him, do the things he says, knowing that that is the best way we can live. Help us to honor you, to put you first, to put your kingdom first, to put others first, so that we might be like you in the way you want us to live here in this world. Thank you that you have provided all we need for a solid foundation for life and for eternity as well. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.